Good morning. Welcome to Facebook Live here at Standell Baptist Church. We are located in our lower level here of the church. This is the second time that we have ventured into this area of ministry, and we hope that today's lesson will be a blessing to you. It's something that we want to do to reach out to our church family during this pandemic that is going on in our country, even around the world. And so we're here to encourage your heart, to bless you, to lift you up, and to fix your eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the completer of your faith. I want to take a moment here to bow our heads and go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are here this morning acknowledging to you that you are in control of all things, and that we truly believe you are the creator of this earth. You are the creator of ourselves. And not only that, that you are the sustainer of this earth. By the words of your mouth, all things were brought into existence, and you sustain everything that lives and breathes here upon this earth. And Father, you're the only infallible interpreter of all that goes on around this world, that goes on here in this country, that even goes on here in Western Michigan, even in our own personal lives. And so we come to you and ask that you would just superintend this hour, that you would give us a sense of your presence and of your leading as we open up your word this morning and dive into it, to get an understanding of the importance of trusting you in these days ahead. We just ask your blessing, and may we find encouragement through the Holy Scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we have a number of announcements that we want to share with you this morning. Sunday and Wednesday services through April will be canceled, as shared with you the previous week, due to the stay-at-home order that extends through April 14th. The combined Good Friday service that was scheduled for April 10th has been canceled as well. Maybe a special service will be held sometime later in the summer, where the churches of Northwest Grand Rapids will get together for a celebration service, hopefully, to just reflect back upon this stay-at-home time and this COVID-19 time that we're going through. But we'll let you know if we're able to do that. But also canceled for this year at this time is our Resurrection Sunday service, which was scheduled for April 12th. We also want to share with you that online giving is possible and convenient to you through our new app. We have partnered with MyWell Ministry, which is able to give everyone an opportunity to give through an app that you can download through your Apple phone or your Android phone. You simply have to go to each of those stores and download the app, and it will lead you into how to set it up for your personalized giving. And you also may mail your tithes and offerings to the church, and some of you have done that, and we greatly appreciate that. And then also, we have installed a new lock box on the east side entrance of the church that is under the canopy, which you can place your offering envelopes into that. So we appreciate your continued giving to this ministry. You're unable to be here on Sundays in order to us to take up tithes and offerings, but you folks are such a giving church, and we appreciate your giving that is coming in. Also, many of you have signed up for Flocknote, which is a new app that you have downloaded to your smartphones, and you're receiving messages from us to you concerning a variety of things, and we certainly appreciate that. If you haven't done so, you can go to flocknote.com, and you can access our community through downloading it to your computer or downloading it from there to your smartphone. And again, it will lead you into knowing what to do to make that possible, and setting up a username and creating a password. I do want to share some prayer requests with you, and these prayer requests I want you to pray for. I won't give last names, but I will share first names. Don S. is home from rehab, and what a miracle God has done in his life. And we're just praising the Lord for how he raised him up. We believe that he was near death there in the hospital, but now he's home and having rehab from there. And I've talked with Don, and he's doing really well, back to his joking self. He had a lot of humor when I talked with him on the phone, but at the same time, he was very humble and appreciated your prayers, and we're just excited what God has done in his life. I also talked to Don Y. He is home recovering from a hospitalization earlier this week, and Don really appreciates your prayers as well. Please pray for him. He's struggling with walking some, and his blood pressure is a struggle. Jackie M. is getting rehab at her new home or new apartment home, and please pray for her as she is learning to walk with a new hip, and we're praising God that she was brought through that surgery. It could have been a life and death situation for her, but God chose for her to live, to which we are very, very thankful. I also want you to pray for my son John's close friend Drew. I've shared him with you on numerous occasions, and Drew is struggling with health issues. He was hospitalized for about a month, but he is home now. So continue to pray for Drew with his health issues. And I got an email Friday morning from a woman named Jenna. And I do not know this woman, but she networked out to a number of churches. She wants us to pray for her friend Catherine, who has apostatized. In other words, she has left the church and turned from the Lord, and Jenna is very concerned for her friend, and her friend's name is Catherine. So please pray for Catherine. Well, that concludes our announcements for today. And please, if you haven't signed up for Flocknote, please do so, because we do share announcements through that community app. So thank you for praying, and continue to do so.
Good morning, church. Well, to start us off singing this morning, thought it'd be an appropriate song to sing, Shout to the Lord. I'm sorry that we don't have the words for you this morning, but hopefully we'll have that back next week. We wanted to make sure that the audio and the video was clear. We thought that was the most important thing. So we're kind of just taking it a step at a time. So please bear with us. But this morning, let's join our hearts together. Hopefully you know the words. This song is called Shout to the Lord. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that nothing compares to the promise I have in you. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to
Before we get into the word for this morning, I do want to thank James and his daughter Natalie and his son Philip. They are our group that has put this whole Facebook ministry to you together this Sunday and last Sunday, and we are confining it to just us four due to the stay-at-home mandate from our governor. So we're limiting people who are involved in this particular ministry at this time. So I truly appreciate their involvement here at our church this morning. Well, the title of my lesson this morning is Overcoming Worry. It's an issue that all of us have struggled with in the past, and I think many of us are dealing with it maybe even this morning. But before we get into that, I want to give you some updates concerning COVID-19. If you are not on track with the global statistics concerning this pandemic, as of this morning, there are 667,622 cases which are known, and there have been 37,750 deaths that have come about through this virus. And recently, the U.S. has become the country with the most COVID-19 cases. As of this morning, there are close to 125,000 known cases. And there have been 2,191 deaths in our country from this virus. In Michigan, there are now 4,650 known cases, with 111 reported deaths. And there has been just one death here in Kent County. The last I heard that our state has risen to number 5 in the country with the greatest number of reported cases of COVID-19. It's important, folks, that you stay at home. It's necessary that you go with what has been taught us through television and online, and that we distance ourselves, that we wear latex-free gloves when we go out shopping, that we wash our hands frequently, that we keep from touching our faces, that we follow all these precautions. My wife and I on Thursday, went out shopping for groceries, and we wore latex gloves. And when we brought our groceries home, we washed them down. As we put them away, we're trying to be as careful as possible because this virus is a killer. And so we encourage you to keep yourself safe and keep others safe as well. And if you need anything, we encourage you to feel free to call one of the deacons or call a care leader or call myself, and we'll try to help you with any needs that you may have. We're here to encourage you as much as possible. If you have any prayer requests, please communicate those. We want to pray for you. We want to be there to shepherd you as much as we possibly can. You know, I sense through these daily reports that I receive through my phone and through online and through the media on television that there are a lot of people that are worried about catching this virus. And at the same time, there are some that are out there that feel that they'll never catch it. And there are a few that live their life in that way. But there are many that are worried about this virus. But I think what worries more people than anything else are those that are have lost their jobs because of this pandemic, that they're unemployed. And as I shared with you last week, I have a number of friends that have lost their jobs because of this pandemic. They're unable to go to work, and they're home, and unable to earn any kind of income. Of course, they can apply for unemployment, and they have done so, but the lines are busy, and it's a long, tedious process, from what I understand. But I'm here to try to encourage all of us this morning. I want to take you to Psalm 23. It is the shepherd's psalm. It's a precious psalm. It's probably the most familiar psalm in the Bible. And I want to read it to you. And many of you that are part of my congregation probably have it memorized. But let me read it. And if you have your Bibles, open them up and follow along as I read. It's a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This Old Testament psalm, which is, as I mentioned, probably the most famous of all the psalms that are in the collection of the book of Psalms, a psalm that was written by King David, probably reflecting upon his days as a shepherd boy, caring for his father's sheep. Found in this famous psalm are seven common stresses that people experience in life. And these seven common stresses are worry, busyness, damaged emotions, indecision, dark valleys, personal hurt, and the fear of the future. As you read down through these psalms, I think you'll recognize these stresses and the precious remedy for each one of them that is found there. Well, this morning, this psalm provides the springboard into discovering the Bible's hope for overcoming worry. I'm going to take that particular first stress, worry, and we're going to talk about it. and see what the Bible has to share with us about it. Before we look at how to overcome worry, we need to understand worry a little bit. The hazards of worry to our spiritual growth and well-being is very, very evident in our life. We all have pet worries such as finances and job issues, relationships, marriage, kids, health, and the list can go on and on. There are just a number of things that get us down on a regular basis. And now we add to it this pandemic that has come into our world called COVID-19 that has spread to the entire globe. It has spread to all our 50 states, and it has literally shut down our economy, which has beleaguered many in our American culture. There are three significant hazards to worry that I just want to briefly share with you. Worry is useless, worry is hopeless, and worry is certainly harmful. Well, let's take a look at the first one. It is useless because it never really accomplishes anything or solves anything. It's stewing without doing. You could say it's like tracing, or it's like racing your car engine while it's parked. It only creates smoke and it makes a lot of noise, but you never get anywhere. It is something that doesn't do any good for you. Worry has never solved a problem. Worry cannot change our past. Worry cannot control our future. It only makes you and me fearful about today. It makes us miserable in our daily life. Nothing gets done when we sit and stew that we worry about throughout the day. Not only is it useless, but it's hopeless because it always exaggerates the problem. The more we think about what we're worrying about, the bigger it gets. It makes mountains out of molehills. The more we analyze something that we're worried about, the bigger and bigger it becomes. Worry smothers our hope. Worry is contrary. It's the opposite of hope. Listen to what the psalm writer cries out in Psalm 42, verse 11. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. The psalm writer was cast down. He was struggling. He was emotionally distraught. He was worrying about something in his life, but he encouraged himself to find hope in God. Worry is also harmful because it attacks us physically and emotionally. When you worry, you get ulcers, backaches, headaches, and insomnia. How many of you have tossed and turned in your bed during nights when you worried about something that was going on in your life? I have certainly done that numerous times, tossing and turning, unable to sleep because of something that was going on in my life or in the life of someone else that kept me awake. I remember my grandmother, Helen, used to tell my grandfather, Carlos, that when he was bothered about something, she would say, Carlos, you're going to worry yourself to death. I don't know how many times I heard my grandmother tell my grandfather that. My grandfather was an old farmer out in Iowa, and he would worry about getting too much rain on the crops or getting not enough rain on the crops. He worried about a lot of different things. And my grandmother would chasten him over and over. And certainly, we can worry ourselves to death. Dr. Charles Mayo of the famed Mayo Clinic wrote this one time. He says, worry affects the circulation, the heart, the glands, and the whole nervous system. I have never met a man or known a man who died of overwork, but I have known a lot who died of worry. Worry is a dangerous thing in our life if we live a lifestyle of worrying all the time. The old English word for worry means to strangle, to choke. And that's what worry does. It strangles the very life out of all of us. We weren't born to worry, but we end up learning how to worry. We have practiced worrying enough to really be good at it. I think all of you are good at worrying. I'm good at worrying. It just becomes something that I've learned so well to do. The good news is that we have learned to worry, I believe we can learn or unlearn to worry. Let me put it that way. And that's true for all of us. All of us can unlearn to worry. So if worry is useless and hopeless and harmful to our spiritual growth and well-being, how can we overcome it? How can we cleanse ourselves and get rid of this worrying that many of us struggle with from day to day? Well, the strategy to overcoming worry is found in four factors. And please know that to overcome the stress of life, such as worry, it can be cleared up, I believe, in four steps that we just need to implement. We need to practice every day of our life. And these four parts or factors in this strategy for overcoming worry is based upon Psalm 23, verse 1, which simply says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And so let's consider the first factor found in this verse. We must know that the Lord, our shepherd, will take care of us. We must know that the Lord, our shepherd, will take care of us. This is what David believed. He knew that the Lord was his shepherd. The word Lord in our English translation is a great Old Testament personal name for God, first declared to Moses by God in the burning bush experience that Moses had in Exodus chapter 3. You might want to go back and take a look at that experience that Moses had in Exodus 3. It's been repeated more than 4,000 times in the pages of the Old Testament scriptures. It's a name for God that literally means "I am who I am." It refers to God's timelessness and his self-sufficiency. The concept of self-sufficiency means that God does not need anything. It means he needs no wisdom, for he has all wisdom within himself. He needs no power, for he is all-powerful. He is accountable to no one. He answers only to himself. The concept of timelessness means that God is always the same in all his eternal attributes and traits. He was like this in the time of Moses and in David's day, and he is like this today, and he will be like that in the future. He will be like that tomorrow. He will be unchanged and unchangeable forever. He is the great I am. If you believe that the Lord is taking care of you, then you're not going to worry as often. How does making the Lord our shepherd become one of the key factors in overcoming stress? Well, we need to think about what the shepherd does for his sheep. David understood this when, as a young lad, he was out in the pasture lands of Israel caring for his father's sheep. And David would spend day after day after day there with his family flock. He would live with his sheep. He would be there day and night. He would be there, as we would say, 24/7. He came to know his sheep, and his sheep came to know him. And we see here that the relationship that God has with you and me as the Good Shepherd. God knows you, and we become to know God through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Having cared for sheep as a young farm boy in Iowa, I know that the shepherd is to provide and to protect and to guide his sheep. And this is what the Lord does for us as our shepherd. David summarizes this in verse 1 again when he says, "I shall not want." David understood when the Lord as his shepherd cares for him, then he shall not want. The Apostle Paul testifies to this same truth through his words in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. He says this famous verse, which many of you probably have memorized, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ." This doesn't say that God will meet all your greed. There is a difference between our needs and our wants. If God met all our wants, then we would be the most self-centered, spoiled brats anyone has ever met. But it does say that the Lord will meet all our needs. It doesn't say he might or that he will think about it, but it says emphatically that he will meet all your needs. He will meet all my needs. This means that God's character is on the line here. It means that he is either going to do it or he's a liar. When God makes a promise, his character is on the line. And let me tell you, there are over 7,000 promises in the Bible. And these promises are coming true as they are fulfilled in redemptive history. And so you can trust God, as I shared with you last week. You can trust God that he will take care of you, that he will be that shepherd to you and to me as sheep in his fold. As you grow in your understanding of his shepherding promises, worry will be replaced by faith. Anytime we worry, we are acting like agnostics. A person who is an agnostic is saying, "Well, there is a God, but he has no promises for me. There is a God, but he's not interested in me." Years ago, before I became a believer, I was an agnostic. I believed that there was a God. I believed in a creator, but I believed that you really couldn't get to know him personally. But it wasn't until the age of 19 that I came to grips with the scripture, with the God of the scripture. And I came into a personal saving relationship with Jesus Christ through faith in him alone, and realized that you can get to know God personally through his son. Listen, my friend out there, if you have not put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, I beg of you this morning to get down on your knees and invite Jesus Christ into your life. Just simply communicate to God the Father, "Father, forgive me of all my sin, and I trust in Jesus Christ, who is the great sacrifice for sin, and I trust in him alone, and I ask him to come into my life and save me." I did that so many years ago, and my friend, you can do that today if you have not done so. Well, we must delve into the God's word and remind ourselves of these many promises that he has personally given to you and me as believers. And the promises of his shepherding care are found in the Holy Scriptures. My people of Standell, you need to get into the word of God during these stay-at-home days, during these pandemic days. You need to get into the word and feed upon the Holy Scriptures. And find your fellowship with the triune Godhead and ask the Spirit of God to open up your eyes and to refresh your heart to the many promises of the shepherding God, who wants to encourage your heart and to lead you into green pastures during these days of crisis. All the saints, like David, knew God to be their personal shepherd. I count at least 17 personal pronouns, such as I and me and my, in Psalm 23. I have them circled in my Bible and highlighted with a marker that I carry around and utilize to mark up my Bible, because I want to note these kinds of things and to be able to remind myself of these things as I read the Holy Scriptures. And that personal shepherd came himself in person in the work of his Son, Jesus Christ. And we find so many promises of Jesus coming from the Old Testament. I just want to read a couple of them to you this morning. One is from Isaiah 40, verse 10 and 11. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong arm, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. And then I like also Ezekiel 34, verses 11 through 16. For thus says the Lord God, indeed I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among the scattered sheep. So I will seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places that they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I shall bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel and in the valleys and in the inhabited places of the country. And I will feed them in the good pastures, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. And they shall lie down in a good field and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, and bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. And here we have passages of God prophesying that he himself will come and shepherd his flock. And certainly this is a promise to the believing Israel, but it's also a promise to those who are engrafted into believing Israel, which is the Church of Jesus Christ, which is the New Covenant Church in the New Testament. The fulfillment of all such promises is found in Jesus. This leads us to the second factor that I want to share with you. We must know that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Shepherd. David writes in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord can't be your shepherd until the Lord is your shepherd. The two go together. You can't ask him to be your shepherd without making him your Lord. What does it mean for Jesus to be your Lord? Well, it means three things, and they're found in Jesus' words in John chapter 10, verses 14 and 27. And let me read these words of Jesus to you. He writes, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. There are three key words, and I want to define them just briefly to you, and that communicate that you must know Jesus as Lord in your life. It means that you need to know, you need to hear, and you need to follow. To know is not a casual understanding of Jesus, but it's a personal, experiential knowledge of him. There's a lot of you out there that may know some things about Jesus, but you do not personally know him as your Lord and Savior. The way you come to know him as your Lord and Savior is as I shared with you before. You need to repent of your sin, and you need to open up your heart and pray and ask God to save you, and ask him to come into your heart and recognize that he is the only Savior of sinners, and make him Lord of your life. You need to hear Jesus. You need to not just acknowledge his voice, but you need to respond to his words. Many of you maybe have read portions of the Bible, and maybe you've read portions of his words in the gospel. It's one thing just reading his words or hearing his voice in the scripture. It's another thing in obeying his word. You not need to be just hearers of the word, but you need to be doers of the word. And then the third word is follow Jesus. This is not just sitting on the sidelines. It's just not watching him being lived out in the lives of others around you. It's being led by him. It's allowing him to control your life through his word. These three words are important in a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's personally knowing him. It's hearing and responding to his word, and it's following him, which is involving yourself in the Christian life and in the Christian community. Not only does Jesus describe himself as the good shepherd, but we read in 2 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, that Peter calls him the chief shepherd. Pastors are called under shepherds of their flock, but Jesus is the chief shepherd. And we also read from the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, that he calls Jesus the great shepherd and overseer of our souls. And so we see that Jesus is clearly seen as the Lord, our shepherd. My friend, Jesus teaches us later in John chapter 10, the Good Shepherd chapter of the Bible, that he and the Father are one. He is declaring himself to be God. And there are seven times in the Gospels where Jesus declares himself to be the great I am of the Old Testament. He declares himself to be the I am that I am name of the Old Testament. As I shared with you last week, you can trust him. You can trust Jesus. You can trust him with your life, with every care you can cast at his feet. My friend, you can take all your worries and place them at the feet of Jesus. Worry is always an attempt to control the uncontrollable. You know, worry is a control issue. It's a control issue. And you're either trying to control your own life and your own issues, or you need to let go and let God sovereignly control the things that you are worrying about. When worry is raising its ugly head in your life, you need to cast it at the feet of the shepherd of the sheep, of the shepherd of your soul, which is Jesus Christ. Third, the third factor of overcoming worry is that we must talk to the Lord, our shepherd, about the things that worry us. We are given this command in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Pray about the issues that worry you. Talk to God about them. He is the shepherd, and we are his sheep, and he wants to hear from you personally, even though he knows what's going on in your life. He wants to hear from you. He wants to talk with you. He's a fellowshipping God, and he wants you to speak to him. He speaks to you through his word as you read it and seek an understanding of his mind and will, but he wants you to talk to him about what's going on in your life. And whenever you are worried, there are usually two options. We can either panic or we can pray. Paul is telling us not to worry about anything, but to pray about everything. That's what we are to do as God's sheep. Listen, if you do this, you will experience God's peace. Paul describes it as that peace that passes all understanding, that guards our hearts and minds. It's that peace that guards our hearts from feeling things, guards our emotions from feeling things that we should not feel, and guards our minds from thinking things we shouldn't be thinking about. You see how casting all our cares at the feet of our shepherd can help you with your worries in daily living? Well, this is how Paul puts it in Philippians 4, verse 7 again. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If the issue you're facing is big enough to worry about, then it's big enough for you to pray about. God's ability is greater than anything you're struggling with. Remember that. To cast means to unload or to let go, and prayer is an incredible stress reliever. Please pray about whatever you're worrying about. Please pray with whatever stress issue that you're dealing with today. The word all in this passage means everything that you're stressed about or worrying about. Cast it at the feet of Christ. Cast it all upon Christ. The problem is most of us like casting it at Christ's feet, but we like drawing it back. We cast it, but we take it back. It's kind of like fishing. Many of you enjoy fishing. You cast out your line, but you reel it back in. Let me tell you, when you cast all your cares at the feet of Christ, try to leave them there. Try to leave them there. Cast it all upon Christ. My friend, when you cast all your cares at the feet of Christ, you can leave them there. You can trust the Lord to care for them. He is Lord. He is our good, great, and chief shepherd. And the fourth thing that I want us to look at this morning is that we must trust the Lord our shepherd's leading one day at a time. I think this is very, very important. Jesus gives this to us in Matthew 6, verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Well, today is the tomorrow that you worried about yesterday. Think about that. Let me say it again. Today is the tomorrow that you worried about yesterday. And when you worry, you are not doing anything about yesterday. And you can't control tomorrow. Therefore, you can just be messing up your today. The future can seem overwhelming. Therefore, God has to put it in bite-sized pieces, and how he does it is one day at a time. God has created 7 days to a week, and we live each day at a time. And he asks us in his model prayer to the disciples, he tells them in Matthew 6, verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. It's day by day. It's moment by moment that we live. And so we can't be afraid of what's coming tomorrow. We take whatever we're fearful of, whatever we're worried about tomorrow, and we just cast them at the feet of Christ. It is a daily choice to worry or not to worry. There's no pill that I can take for worry, though I think some people are on medication for issues of worry. There's no seminar that we can take, or no set of CDs that we can buy, or no special book about worry that we can purchase that will help you overcome worry. there is no metaphysical experience that you can have with some guru that can help you overcome worry. You overcome worry by recognizing the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Worry and the ability to overcome it is going to be a daily choice that you make every day. Sometimes it's an hourly choice. Sometimes it's a moment by moment choice. But it's saying to yourself, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Let me tell you, folks, the Christian life is a life of perseverance. It's a day-to-day walk with the Lord. And in order to experience the blessedness of that, you got to be in God's Word. You got to let God communicate to you through the Holy Scriptures. And you have to be in prayer. And my sadness is to think that many of you don't pray. And many of you don't read the Holy Scriptures until you listen to some kind of presentation like this or you attend church. My encouragement to you is to get into the Scriptures every day. Feed upon God's Word. If you are one of God's sheep, then you need to be eating green grass. You need to be in God's pasture land and feeding on his word and getting to know God. And the way you get to know God, your shepherd, is getting into the Holy Scriptures. And you need to learn to walk with God and follow the shepherd and hear your shepherd and speak to your shepherd. And the way you speak to him is through prayer, through talking to him, opening up your life and conversing to him like I'm conversing to you. There's no secret formula or no fancy words. It's just talking to him like I'm talking to you. That's how God wants you to express yourself to him. And when you do on a daily basis and cast whatever anxiety, whatever worry you have and give it to him, God is going to give you his peace that passeth all understanding, that will guard your heart and guard your mind and help you through this pandemic that we are going through. The question I ask for you this morning is, who's in control of your life? Are you in control of your life, or are you allowing the Lord your shepherd to control your life? If God's in control, then I think worry is going to be minimal in your life as you learn to cast it at his feet. But if you're in control of your life, then I think your life is going to be filled with worry and more worry. It's going to eat at your soul. It's going to eat at you physically. And it's going to cause a lot of misery in your life. What's got you worried? What is it that causes you to fuss and to fume and to toss and to turn and to wonder, is my problem ever going to work out anytime in the near future? I don't know what it is for you, but let me tell you, give it to Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, as the old hymn writer says, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Well, my friend, what I have to share to you today is something that we all struggle with, and that is worry. And there's a lot of things we can be worrying about during this pandemic. And my encouragement to you is, as it was last week, that you can trust God. And my statement to you this morning is still, you can trust God. With the worries that you have in your life today, cast them at his feet. He's your good shepherd. He's your great shepherd. He's your chief shepherd. Get to know him through his word and through prayer. I pray this. Let's close. Father, I just thank you for your word and the power of it. And my encouragement to your people is that they would just bow their heads and just ask God to encourage them to get into the Word and to pray more often than they do, and to have a relationship with you that is full and rich, and any worries that they have that they would cast at the feet of Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pastor had great encouragement for us. We should be in the Word. And it's touching to me because as I was walking my wife and I through our neighborhood the other day, I was thinking, you know, we don't have all this time where we're driving around. We have a lot of time now where we should be more free. And it seems like everything's still filled up. And I finally, as we're walking, it's not a great epiphany or light bulb moment. It was really just a reaffirmation. To me, it was like, it's not about time. It's about priority. And we need to make God, His Word, and prayer to Him a priority. And I pray as we close in this song, may it remind us all, we need to get back to what the heart of what everything is about, the heart of our worship, which is Jesus Christ. When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. Now I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. How is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my Father, we come before you acknowledging that all our worry is because we're focused on ourselves. And Lord, we need to focus on you. I pray as we go through our week, Father, bring us to remembrance, to lay everything at your feet. You have so much more ability than we have worry. Lord, you can move mountains. As Jesus walked by the fig tree, did he not curse it? And did it not instantly wither and die? When Jesus told people to be healed, whether it was the eyes or whether it was they were lame or whether they possessed, was it not instantly done? Father, may we remember we serve the greatest God, the God who has infinite capability. And Lord, may we be a light in our community this week. As other people worry, Father, may they see us not worry. May they see us trust. May that difference cause them to ask us questions, and may we be a great witness. Lord, all to your glory, all to your honor. In your Son's precious name we pray. Amen. Have a good day, church.